I don't take lightly the sacrifice and all that you've done for us. I want to thank you so much for this special week. I've enjoyed every meal. I've enjoyed the fellowship, the laughter. Isn't it good to have friends?
Yeah.
I mean, friends that you can just have a good time with. I purposed a long time ago, before I ever started preaching, that I was going to enjoy my salvation.
Yeah.
I really did. Just because I started pastoring didn't mean I had to stop. Amen. I really enjoy it. We're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness or madness, but with gladness. And I'm thankful for the good time we can have together. We're in Hebrews, of course, and I want to thank especially those that fixed the meals and all the hard work and all that that went into the meeting. It was delicious. All that was great. But the thing that I really appreciate is the Word of God that these men have given to us. And I want to thank every one of you that did what you could to point our souls and our hearts to Him. That's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? And I thank God we can look unto Him, as we heard this morning, the one that's the heir of all things. If we could get our eyes fixed on Him, the one who's made the worlds and all that's in it, the brightness of His glory, the express image, God the Father, the one that's upholding all things by the word of His power, the one that by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God, the one the Bible tells us is better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Joshua, better than Aaron, better than the law, the one that gave us better things to enjoy, the better hope in chapter 7, we have a better promise in chapter 8, we have a better sacrifice in chapter 9, a better substance in chapter 10, a better country in chapter 11. We have a better resurrection in chapter 11, and we have better things in chapter 11. Amen. A lot of better things. But tonight, my subject really is a word of warning. And this message, I believe, if no one else gets anything out of this tonight, God's let me get help. I like the messages that preach back at me. This is a mirror. A lot of times, some of the greatest messages I've gotten was not to somebody out here, but it was to this man right here. And I need this as much as anybody or more than anybody else in this building. There's a word that my text starts with that's used over 240 times in the Word of God. And this word is a word of warning. The first mention of it was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, where Eve is telling Satan that God said, "You shall not eat of it, nor touch it," is what she said, "lest." Lest. Now, the word lest is simply a word of warning then, and it's a word of warning now. And the word lest usually is connected to the preceding thought. And that's what we find here. I'm glad we can look unto the Lord. I'm glad we can look into the person of the Lord and see Him in His beauty. I'm glad we can look to the purity of the Lord. We can look at the great price He paid. You think about what He did for you and what He did for me. How His back was torn, His face was smitten, how He was wounded, and how He is bruised. You think about the great price He paid. You think about what He did for us and how He purged us of our sins. I mean, when we get our thoughts on Him, it's wonderful. And we need to look unto Jesus.
Right.
Amen? He's not only the author, but He is the finisher of our faith. And then this same text tells us that we're to consider Him. Amen?
Right.
Consider. Turn it over in your mind. As Brent mentioned this morning, ponder it. Knock it around in your thoughts. Not just a quick thought, but to really consider. Consider the goodness of God. Consider the grace of God.
Yes,
consider what He's done for you and where you were and where He's brought you to. Consider the Lord. Lest. Lest. You know, we can get in trouble if we don't keep our focus right, as Brother Brent said so well this morning. But that's what I want to do, is I want to simply give you a warning. Lest is a warning of consequences, but has the intention of preventing the risk. That's what the word lest is. It is a warning of some consequences, but it's trying to help you to see that you can avoid it. There are some things that you and I can avoid. Well, what is it that God is warning us in through His Word tonight? What is this word, I'm telling you, the next word that I want to look at for just a second, is one thing that I battle. What's He say? He says, notice in our text again, He says, lest ye be wearied. Wearied. Now, you may not have any trouble with this, but I really believe He's warning everyone about being wearied. That means to be much exhausted. Have you ever been there? I've been so exhausted before. When I go to bed at night, I dream about a muffler falling off my car. Get much exhausted, amen. I'm just worn out. All I can do is, I mean, just exhausted. You can get exhausted physically. You can get exhausted mentally. You can get exhausted with people. You can get exhausted with pressures. And you can get weary. That's what it means. That's one definition, to be much exhausted. It means to tire or fatigue. Another meaning is to grow impatient with. Sometimes we get weary with waiting. We get weary with people. We get impatient with people. You want them to straighten up and fly right and do it now. Isn't that right? Sometimes you just want to shake people and say, can't you see what you're doing? You can get weary. Impatient. It's a feeling of tiredness. Really, I'm kind of weird in the way I look at words sometimes, but it helps me. Just excuse me. But when I see some words in the Bible, it helps me to understand the definition better. Like when I see the word touch, I spell that T-ouch. Amen? I mean, I see a lot of times when the Lord touches you, He'll T-out you. Isn't that right? He does. And there's some other words like that, little games I play in my own head, but I see something that describes this word within this word. Within weariness, what's the word you see? You see wear. It has the idea of a car that's crankcase is empty. It has an idea of a car or a piece of machinery where the bearings are dry. You know, we wear out. I can see evidence of it around here. I see some of you, your eyes are worn out. Some have their ears worn out, got wearing something in their ear. Some of them have metal in their legs, amen, and in their joints because we simply wear out, amen. One of the best ways to keep from wearing out a motor is to keep oil in it, amen. Isn't that right? A Holy Spirit-filled life. I believe that's one way to keep you from wearing out, amen, and getting weary. But this thing of wearing, I believe all of us have a problem with this thing of wearing. Did you know that Moses had problems with being weary? I read through the Bible and I could show you several places in the Word of God. The Bible says Moses got weary. The Bible says that Israel got weary. The Bible tells us that David got weary. The Bible tells us that Job was weary. If you'd look at Jeremiah and look at his life, the Bible tells us that he got weary. And even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, He was weary. And if these great men, and if our Savior can get weary in His tabernacle of clay, I'm telling you, you and I have to battle this thing of called weariness. Here, let me show you a little something. Turn to a couple places. I want to show you something that I didn't understand. I still don't know that I understand it totally. But I want you to see the Apostle Paul got weary. But look at, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and Galatians 6. And then I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 11 right quickly. And then I'll get to my message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As a pastor, I try my best to warn people. A lot of times as a pastor, what I do as a pastor, there's a cliff and people are running toward that cliff and they're about to run off the cliff. And I'm trying to warn them to stop, don't go that way, stop, don't go over the edge. But a lot of times they'll go on over the edge anyway. Yeah. Sometimes, as a pastor, I'm down here trying to help them after they've gone over the edge.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Sure.
I mean, that's just a fact of life. Some people don't pay any attention, and you have to do everything you can to wave them off, but sometimes when they don't, you still got to be down there when they do go over the edge.
Yes, sir.
Well, the Apostle Paul's trying to warn, I believe, the church of this thing of being weary. Notice in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse number 13, notice this statement. It says, but Paul said, but ye brethren, speaking to the saint, the child of God, those that are believers in the Lord, but ye brethren, notice this, be not weary. Isn't that what he said? Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. See that? Two times. Paul is preaching and he's saying, don't be weary. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. You go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse 24, he says, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness.
Yes.
Now what's that say? At first I thought, what a contradiction. The Apostle Paul is telling us not to be weary, and he got weary. You know, we all have to deal with it. And I believe what I get from that is, although I know I shouldn't get weary, sometimes I do get weary.
Sure.
Although I warn people not to get weary, still sometimes I have to deal with this thing of weariness.
Amen.
And the real danger is what weariness leads to. The Bible tells us in our text again, notice he says, lest ye be wearied and what?
Faint.
The real danger is when you faint. When a person faints, there's some things that happens. I've known some people who have fainted, who have fallen and gotten hurt. When you fall, believe me, it does hurt. When you fall, sometimes it can even hurt other people. If you faint going down the road and you got your car load of family and you're in the driver's seat, listen, it can hurt a lot of people around you.
Amen?
Amen? Another thing is when you faint, you're unconscious. You don't even know what's going on. I know a boy one time, I was out of my job and we were having a little safety meeting and I was talking to the guys and he had his legs locked. One reason you'll faint sometimes, you lock your legs. And I can still remember, I saw his eyes roll back, and he went straight back on the concrete. It sounded like a bowling ball hit him. I mean, he just lost consciousness, and he took a fall. I've been in a wedding before, and I saw, I was sitting back there watching, and this groom was standing there, and the next thing you know, I saw him getting all wobbly and everything. And I don't know if it was because of the trauma he was about to enter or what, but anyway, he just fell. He fell right there, and what an embarrassing thing it was. Fainting. It's embarrassing. It is. It's bad. But I just want to point out a couple things tonight, and I can't wait for James to come. But where to watch out for this thing of getting weary in the Christian life? Where is it that I have to watch out for being weary in my life as a pastor and you other men who are pastors or in ministry, or maybe just the mother or the dad? You all have to deal with this thing of being weary. Let me say, first of all, watch out for weariness in your walk. Turn to John chapter 4. In your walk. John chapter 4. Did you know Jesus, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his darling son, made of a woman. Made under the law. I'm glad God sent his darling son. The God that inhabited eternity.
Hey, no. Yes, sir.
Came to this world in the fullness of time.
Hey.
And he put on an earth suit.
Yeah.
He did. That's what he put on. You and I are walking around in an earth suit, if you will. You know, in this earth suit, we operate by our senses. We call it the flesh. What looks good, that's what we see through it, we hear through it, we feel through it, and our flesh is a sensual thing. The only way we can have contact with this outside world is this tabernacle of clay we're in. We touch, we hear, we smell, we sense. The only way we can possibly have physical contact in this physical world, God had to give us a body. And God prepared a body for Jesus. And Jesus put on that earth suit. And in that earth suit, that God-man, the man God, Christ Jesus, was 100% God, 100% deity, but yet he was 100% humanity. And when he was in that human body, walking from place to place, touching many people's lives, ministering to the lives of many people, something happened to him. And if you will, notice this. Jesus walked many miles to get to one weary woman. In verse number 3, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Here's the problem. We can get weary in the journey. We all have a tendency to get on this journey, and we get so weary. The point is, when we get to the place in our life, when we're tired and worn out, I'm telling you, sometimes you can get so physically worn out. And I believe today, just like Brent was mentioning last night about the heaviness, or the other day about the weight that we feel, I really believe that today we're under a heavy burden like never before. It's like Exodus chapter 1. We're having to serve with rigor. Husbands and wives, these young couples, my heart goes out to them. They're trying to keep their heads above water. They're trying to put food on their table, a roof over their head, clothes on their children's back. Husband's got to work. The wife seems to have to get out there and go to work. And they're doing everything they can. And they're serving with rigor in hard, bitter bondage to the lender. And they're doing all this stuff. And it's really wearisome. And in this journey, you get so tired. I believe one reason we have so much trouble in homes and with families is the pressures that's put on them, or they put on themselves a lot of times, and they want everything that mom and dad had that they worked for all their life, and they want it today, and then they go out and charge it and get it, turn into a servant, and they're in bondage, and they're serving with rigor trying to make ends meet, and then there's pressure and there's stresses within the home. But here's the problem. When we're under those pressures, if we don't lean on the well, amen. The Bible says when he was weary, you know what he did? Amen. He rested on the well. If we don't, the only way really we're going to get some help when we're weary in this daily walk, if we don't learn to not lean to our own understanding, but lean to the well of the Word of God, and have our daily sip from this drink, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to get weary. Amen. Number one, watch out for weariness in your walk. You know what happens a lot of times? We get in such a rush, such a hurry. We say, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you what's left in the bottom of the cup at the end of the day. We take off. A lot of times we'll attempt to take off in our busy day and run out the door. And what we do is end up giving the Lord the dregs in the bottom of the cup.
Yes, you're right.
Here comes a woman in John chapter 4. You think about her. Here comes a woman. She was dry. She was dirty. She was desperate. Her life was, she was disappointed with so many different men in her life. And she couldn't find any satisfaction in her life. And she comes to the Lord. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, when she gets to the well, guess what happens? She drops her pail, hits the trail, and begins to tell. You know why she did that? Because she had rivers of living water that were flowing through her. Amen. All because of the well. You know, we've got to stay around the well. If we don't, we're in trouble. We'll get weary. Watch out for weariness in our walk. Watch out for weariness in the work. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Turn back just a few pages. Luke chapter 18, it tells us of a judge. You know what a judge is? He's someone that has a job making judgment calls. Isn't that what he does? That's his responsibility, is to make judgment calls. Pastors, you know what we have? We have a job. We have a responsibility. And you know what that responsibility is? A lot of times, is to make some judgment calls. Daddies, you're the head of your home. You're supposed to be. That wife's supposed to be the heart of the home. Those children are the hope of the home. God's got a divine order. But as the head of that home, you know what you have? You have a responsibility. Your job is to make some judgment calls. Somebody's got to make that final decision in that home. In a church, the pastor, he's the one that has to make that final decision whether he's going to go there. God's placed him in that position. There is an office, and he has to make those judgment calls sometimes. But in doing so, sometimes, did you know that we can get wearied in the work of God? We sure can. Notice this. What happens in verse number 11, the Bible says it came to pass that he went into Jerusalem. Let me make sure. No, I'm sorry. It's in chapter 18. I was in the wrong spot. In verse number 1, let's look at verse number 2 first. I'll come back to verse 1. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. You know, this widow wanted him to rule in her favor. We get that a lot. Sometimes people will come and want you to make a judgment call, and they want you to rule in their favor. And that's what she was wanting. And she says, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, notice this word, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. You see, one of the greatest challenges is that it continues to come. Continues to come. Continues to come. It's the continual thing, the over and the over and the over. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can even get weary with people. That's a challenge.
Yes, sir.
We got to watch out for some precious people that need some help, and watch out for getting weary. That's our job, is to make some judgment calls. Can I show you what the solution is? When we get weary with people, he tells us what the solution is in verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this reason, that men ought always pray and not to faint. You see that? The only way we're going to overcome that thing of getting weary with people is going to be to get on our knees and pray for those precious people. I'm telling you, when I'm praying right, when my prayer life's what it should be, and I'm in my church with the lights down, and I'm going up and down the pews, and I'm praying, I'm thinking about this family, God, please help them. You know they're going through a burden right now. You know they got some trouble in their life. And I think about this dear man. He just lost something dear to him. Dear God, I pray that you please help me. And I go up with the lights down low, I try to go over my pews and think about my precious people. You know what it does? It doesn't just maybe touch heaven and do something for them. It sure does a whole lot for me when I pray for my people. God forbid that I should sin and not pray for my people. How often do you pray for every person in our church? How often, church member, how often do you get your little phone list or whatever you have and just go down the line and think about each individual and what they're going through? Maybe some trials they got, or maybe how they're slipping in some areas. And how often do you really pray one for another? I tell you, if we'll do that, that'll help us from getting weary with people in the work of God.
Sure.
Isn't that right? Watch out for weariness in the walk. Our walk. Watch out for weariness in the work of God. Watch out for weariness. Here's one in worship. That can happen. If you will, look with me in Malachi. Malachi, chapter 1. This is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. Verse number 2, God says, I have loved you. I have loved you. Boy, hadn't he loved us?
Amen.
Hasn't he demonstrated his love for us?
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that wonderful to think that he would love us, somebody like us? But they began to offer polluted bread upon his altar in verse number 7. And Verse 11, he says, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering from my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, the fruit thereof, even meat, his meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick, and ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? You know what we deal with today and what I deal with in my church? I deal with a high percentage of people who are supposed to be there to worship, and it's so superficial, it's very little sacrificial. It's all on the surface. It's go through the motion.
Right.
It's do this little thing and maybe not maybe just sort of get by or go by, or even when we give offerings, we tip the waitress more than we tip God. And we just give a little bit, you know, a little bit of our life, a little bit of our time. We can give this much, but don't ask me to come back on Sunday night. Right. Don't ask me to go out knocking on doors. Right. I mean, it's very, very superficial worship, if you will. Very little sacrificial worship.
You're right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you think about it. There's a danger, though. Well, if we're not careful, we'll give him our leftovers.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whatever's left. What we'll do is just sort of treat him like he's a short order cook. I'll take one of these and one of those and one of those. Amen. Isn't that right? We're like the prodigal. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Amen. What we need to be saying is like when he came back, make me, make me, make me. Isn't that right? Yes, I really believe that we've got a real issue with that in our churches today. But here's the real danger. Think about the priest. This doesn't just go toward the people. The priest and us pastors, I'm telling you, we're just as guilty as they are. Anybody in our church, we're just as guilty as they are. I'll tell you why. You think about how busy those priests were. You think about some of the things that they had to do. Think about how they had to slay the sacrifices, put the wood in order, remove the ashes from the altar, spend their time in serving and working in the temple. And I guarantee you, they got weary. Notice what God says in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. I mean, it takes in everybody. Did you know I can get so busy in the work of God that my worship turns into worship?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It does it all the time. I'm guilty. My worship, when I should be worshiping God,
yeah,
and trying my best to close out the world when I'm in the church house and when we're having a service, man, I tell you, a lot of times it turns into worship, and I've got so much to do and so much to think about, and I've got to get this person to sing, and I've got to line that thing up, and people are handing me problems as I walk in the door, and I've got to take care of that thing. You know, I wonder where that person's at, and oh, it can turn out to be a duty, it can be a task instead of true worship. One of the greatest challenges I ever went through in my life is when we went through a building program. Trying to keep my heart. That's good encouragement, isn't it, Brother James? I found out quick that you had to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other.
Yes, sir.
If you don't, you're going to get in trouble. It's hard to keep that balance. I'm glad I count it a blessing to serve God. It's an honor to serve God. But when I come to church, like I said earlier, I come to worship. I want to see Him. I want to hear His voice. I want to feel His touch. I don't want to lose it because I'm standing in the pulpit. I want to work out an overflow. I want rivers of living water to run through my heart and let it touch somebody else's life.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to run empty. Man, I ought to come in so full it just runs out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. We get so caught up in the duties of our ministry, and we give him those leftovers, as I was saying earlier, all that stuff in the bottom of the cup. I don't want to be guilty of that. Amen. There's some things that I believe that we can do. Maybe we'll look at that shortly about worship. I don't want to get weary. and worship. Pastors, you know, it can be, sometimes it's stressful. Honestly, I can have a guest preacher in on a Sunday maybe and have him preach both services. And still, by the time I get home that night, I'm like a wash rag that's been wrung out. Just the pressures, just the stresses, just the things that you got to handle and take care of. I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation. I don't want to lose all that sweetness that I can have in my soul. When I come to church, I want to meet with God.
Amen.
Amen. Watch out for weariness in your worship. Watch out for weariness in the Word. Ecclesiastes 12. I confess to you that you're looking at a man that loves the Word of God. I love it. It's meat. It's manna. It's honey. It's bread. It's water. It's milk. I'm telling you, I love to taste and see that the Lord is good. I love it because it's like a fire that warms my bosom. I love it because it's a sword that slices me open and opens me up and shines the light inside of me and removes the cancer from my life. I love the Word of God. There's nothing like getting in a little gold vein and mining in it. I'm telling you, I love it. But sometimes, man, I can hit some dry ground.
Sure.
I can. Because of the duty. I got to leave here. When I leave here, I go home, I got to get a message ready for Friday night for the school. And then we've got a parade Saturday morning, and we've got to get everything ready for that big parade and all that's going on, take care of that. And I'm preaching, I got to preach two times on Sunday. And then I've got a Bible conference, not this Sunday, next week, but the following week. So I've got to prepare for that Bible conference. Hear what I'm saying? I'm saying I got to. It's at the point now where I feel like I'm starting to, there's a meter in my heart. And as the clock gets closer to the time I'm supposed to be somewhere, this great big gorilla starts getting closer and closer to my chest. And he starts sitting on top of my chest. You understand what I'm saying? And then of course I got Wednesday night, and I got next Sunday morning, next Sunday night. And if I'm not careful,
right.
It can really, the Word of God, studying it, can get so weary. I've got a sin I need to get on the altar right now. I envy some people. Brother James can read 15 minutes and he's got a 30-page essay. I mean, some people can just take a little something. It takes me weeks. Takes me hours. Notice this in Ecclesiastes, in verse number 8 of chapter 12. He says, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge." It's wise still to teach people. Amen.
Amen.
And he says, it's wise that he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. It's still good to set things in order.
Yeah.
Verse number 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. I don't want to get to the place where I can't sit down with my Bible and say, "God, give me this day my daily bread."
Yeah. Amen.
If I'm not careful, I could be working constantly just to give something to my people.
Yes, sir.
Or give something to you. This book has got to be real to me. I've got to have some help before I can ever help anybody else. Amen. Sunday school teacher, I hope the only study you have is not just what you do to prepare to stand before your class. We need to have that quiet time. We need to have a time where we can just take it and digest it in our soul and let it become a part of us. We need to take something and let it mean something to our own personal life before we ever stand in front of somebody else. So watch out for weariness of the Word of God. Watch out for weariness in worship, in the work of God in our walk. And then watch out for weariness in our warfares. And of course, that's found in Deuteronomy 25 and Exodus 17. You know this. I'm sure once we read it, you'll remember. Verse number 17, chapter 25 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17. I want to remind you that we have a threefold enemy. We have an external enemy, of course, which is the world. We have an internal enemy, which is our flesh. And then we have an infernal enemy, which is Satan. I mean, those three enemies, we're going to have to battle till we draw our last breath. And really, Satan is not omnipresent. But you know what is? My flesh. I have to deal with this flesh every single day of my life. And here, we're going to read about Amalek. It says in verse number 17 of chapter 25, remember. When I see that word remember, it makes me think re-ember. Amen? Stir up the coals. Amen? Stir up the coals. Stir up your pure minds. By way of remembrance, remember. We sometimes forget some things. And God's telling Israel, you need to remember this. He says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how that he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary. And he feared not God. You know when the enemy's going to strike, where he's going to strike from? He's going to usually strike from behind. Catch you off guard every time. You know how he's going to strike? When you're weak, when you're faint, and when you're weary. Over here in chapter 17 of Exodus, if you were to read there, you'd know it's when they had no water. Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel had no water. There was no water, and the people began to chide with Moses, and problems began to happen. They began to murmur, but then the next thing you know, all of a sudden, in verse number 8, the Bible says, then came Amalek. That's when he came. When they wasn't having any water, there was murmuring going on in their life. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the mountain with the rod of God in mine hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands was heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on one side and the other, one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Listen, I'm telling you, people got weary. Moses got weary in the warfare, in the battle. Thank God, I tell you, I need you. We need each other. I need somebody to scotch me up every once in a while when I get weary. I want to thank God for the good friends I do have that can give me a call or give me some encouragement, amen, at a meeting like this and get my heart helped. I want to say thank God for that. So here's the issue. I got to close it out. Let me say, first of all, we got to watch out for weariness in our walk, in our work, in our worship, in the Word of God, in our warfare. I want to leave you there. There's some things you and I can do, and I'll be quick. There's some things you and I can do to keep from getting weary. Number one, we know this, we've heard it all week, focus. Focus. You got to focus. You know, when you get a telescope, when you focus that thing in, and you can bring something that's far away and bring it in real close. When you got a microscope, you can take something that's real small, and you can make it real big. When you focus on something, you're making it real clear. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. If we don't get our eyes on him, I'm telling you, you know what happened in Psalm 73 to Asaph? He started out saying, truly, God is good.
Yeah.
Truly, God is good. Started looking at God. And then he started looking at them and they and theirs. And I forget how many, a great number of times he mentioned them, they, and their, them, they, theirs. And he started looking down at how they prospered. And then he started saying, poor me. And he well nigh slipped. Just about slipped and fell out until he went to the sanctuary of the Lord.
Right.
Isn't that right? Focus. Number one, focus. Number two, fill up. Fill up on the Word of God. Got to lean on the well. Got to get to the book. The only way we're going to keep from getting weary is fill up with water. Amen. Fill up with the oil. Amen. Live a spirit-filled life. How are we going to do that? The Bible says the Word, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit. Fill up. Fill up. Stay full. Don't run on empty. Amen. Focus. Feel. Fasten. I won't take time to go there. I've got to get down. But when you're fighting in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 10, there was a man. He was defending, fighting the Philistines, and the Bible says that his hand clave to a sword.
Right.
That word cleave means to fuse. It literally means to weld, like two pieces of metal. You heat it up and mix it together, and it becomes one. That's what this Word of God needs to do. We need to let the sword, we need to cleave and let it become a part of us. And when we're going through a difficult time, a battle in our life, we need to actually let the Word of God become a part of us. Cleave to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Fasten. And then file. We read that a little while ago. We can get blunt. We can get wrong with people. You know, that woman was weary. Continually coming. The problems are, guess what? They're going to continue to come. They're going to continue. Tomorrow, we'll have to deal with some stuff. The next day, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. The following day, we're going to have to deal with some things. That's not the problem. The problem's how I deal with it. Here's the real problem. Sometimes it's because of repetition that we start to get dull. Our axe blade, if you will, by repetition, you're swinging it and smacking it on that tree over and over and over and over. After a while, it loses its edge and it can get blunt. Well, we get the same way. Dealing with problem, and they keep coming at us, right? You know what we have to do? The Bible says, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, you have to put more strength. You have to file that thing down. Well, how do you do that? We saw that in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He said, I'm giving you this parable so you know that you got to pray. Amen? We got to pray. And then one more. Can I get you to turn to this one? Isaiah chapter 40. Here's the way that we all are going to make it. Amen. Every one of us. The only way we're going to make it is by Isaiah chapter 40. We got to fly. Amen. Focus, fill up, fasten, file, and fly. You know, I use a lot of wasted energy. I really do. I do a whole lot of flapping. I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Just flapping. Over and over and over. I'd be a whole lot better off if I would find which way the wind's blowing.
Amen.
Get in that current. You know what I'm talking about? And be lifted up to higher ground.
Amen.
I love to watch those birds that soar and get up there in the clouds. Man, I've watched them before and they're just soaring around, not even moving their wings. And then all of a sudden you can see them turn and they'll just go rising up. That's what I want to do in my life. I don't like to waste energy. I'd much rather be where the Lord wants me to be. Doing what God wants me to do. And I found that when I start my day out right and get in my prayer closet and spend some time, some sweet, personal, intimate time with the Lord. And then I go out in my day. It's amazing. Sometimes I've seen it. It's like I'm in the current. And all of a sudden I get on the elevator and God just opened the door to talk to someone and I was able to speak to them, and then I go through that room, and there's somebody there. God opened the door in that room that was visiting them at the same time, let me witness to them. And I leave that room, and I go somewhere, maybe to wash the car, and the person beside, it's like I found that current. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I believe that's what we need to do. All right, let's just read it. I'm going to close with reading this. Hast thou not known, verse number 28, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, Young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for